Okay, the PowerPoint is not available in English, actually. But there is not much text on PowerPoint. So that first says science and faith, or faith and science, yeah? Faith and science in that order. Okay. Cardinal Ratzinger, Introduction to Christianity is the second book that you need to read. He was Pope Benedict XVI. He was Pope 2005 till 13. He laid down his office, but he is still alive. So he was a pope only for 8 years. Yes. So we need to Google to find whether he still is alive. Maybe there was why we don't know why he laid down his papacy, but yeah. Maybe it was. Yeah, it's a hard job. Again, please try to remember. In the beginning, Ratzinger uses several images. He talks about the clown. Then he talks about a monk who survives a flood. And probably something else. So now discuss with your neighbor or put down your thoughts when you read this chapter. What do you think of the author? Okay, Terli has appeared and Victoria as well have appeared online, so welcome. But we can think about it. So there's a class discussion, but there is no one in online in English. So the same question as with Anselm, what kind of person he is, what he looks for, what he seeks. And also think about the question, why it is hard to believe in today's world, and think about these images that he uses.
Thank you.
Okay, let's come together now. Tell us what did Ratzinger wanted to say with the example of the clown that he borrowed from Kierkegaard. So if you can comment, if you want to open. So there was the village and the people of the village weren't able to get what he wanted to say, and he was viewed as a joke. I thought he was just joking. I don't get what she speaks English, but I can't catch what she's saying. Paul, if you can hear the original sound. Okay, next time, the director would send somebody who would not wear the costume of the clown. Well, of course, church is taken seriously. Yeah, why is clown wearing the clothes of the clown? Maybe the question, church. Maybe this is when we are passing on, trying to communicate our message that we wear the clothes of the clown. We're not taken seriously. That the church is far removed from the real life, and that the church is dealing with kind of higher questions, and that they don't know why they do not see how it could be connected with their own life. How we are explaining things, we have these spiritual explanations, but for people who do not believe, they just are looking for very ordinary things, and they don't really get what we're talking about and why we're talking about things. So, especially with Catholics, he's wearing the robes, clerical robes. But in our own church, there are not many very special things. There is just a simple cross. There is an altar which is just a table and there is a pulpit. And how many people when the preacher speaks from the pulpit, people say that it has to be preached from the pulpit. But the form is does not matter. That the church is that the value is that the church is different. The church has to be different. It is helpful for some people who do not believe, because it is strange, can be a hindrance. So what else Ratzinger says? So there is another example or image that it is a Jesuit monk who is on the sea. It's the one who holds on to the plank. But that piece of wood he's holding on his relationship to that plank that saves him is so strong. Is so strong that is something stronger that we hold on to, that we, yeah. I have never, not a flood, but what was shipwreck that he survived. But I haven't survived a shipwreck. But we was on a lake. There was a storm, a lake. I actually held. We got hold of the life vests. No, we. But the thing is, the ship is that should keep you safe is falling apart. And you are, and this there's only thing that holds you up. Did Halina want to say something? Okay, she. So I wanted to come back to the clown. That doesn't matter whatever you are wearing, whether you are wearing the robes or you do not, whatever you did, if it doesn't matter, that you cannot follow the desires of the people, how people want to see the church. Everybody has their own understanding how the church should look like, or how the priest should look like, or the preacher should look like, or the church should look like. People have all their own ideas of what is strange or that is not strange. Whether they have to preach from the pulpit or from the lectern. In YouTube, there was a service, I think it was a Catholic mass. And I saw that they were dancing there, actually. And so everybody was saying, what a progressive church. There was actually a very lively worship going on, and the comments. So they say that somebody, well, this priest was drunk and that's why he was dancing. And so whatever we do or say can be a hindrance or a good thing. So you cannot please people, kind of. But when we preach the word of God, But the word that the word of God is the one that does the work and brings about change. So we do not need to discuss what the clown should wear to be listened to. That it is like an image that somebody is preaching that the world is coming to an end, that people are only laughing at the one who brings the message. Instead, we should be not to think about what clothes we're wearing, but we should pray for people that their eyes of their hearts should be opened. Thank you, Halina. Okay. Okay, a comment from Yevgeny that when we went to the mission field, and we went to the war front in Ukraine, actually went to the front line, and people who lived there. That their worldview was quite different from those people who lived in Ukraine further away from the front line. And when people escaped from the front line from the war zone. And they thought what they experienced and what they need. They thought that, well, this is not true. This can't be true. They just didn't accept their message. But they didn't believe what they said. What they and when people came from the peaceful parts of Ukraine to the closer to front line. And they seem to be like clowns, you know, where have you been? You don't know the real life. 8 years but hard people had totally different understandings. Because the conflict started already in 2014 when Russia occupied some of the territory, and there was actually constant warfare there. And then we had to show with our deeds. That we do care, and we mean business. That we actually had to, in real life, we had to pray for people to not only say, but. And the people were came to us for prayer. And excellent. Thank you, Evgeny. That is the story as such of that it is a valuable experience. But those who live close to front line, and those experience fall from they have a very different perspective, understanding of the world, and you have to understand people before you can pass on your message, and that's one of the most important. Now hold on that motive, because it is important. But let's go back to that monk who is floating on the sea, and he's tied to a piece of wood that is keeping him on the surface. If every, I think it is a parable for every believer. And on one hand, as we say in English, no Christ, a solid rock I stand. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. Yes, we build it on the solid rock. But this is the word of God I'm building my life on. But that image. But actually, if we feel that we are tied to the cross, which is only a small piece of wood, and we are floating on an endless sea, and we don't know whether we ever reach the shore. We don't know how long it's going to last. I don't know how we can keep on. We know that at this moment, I'm still alive. I'm still holding on to this piece, tied to this piece of, and you just have the hope that you will reach. What is your experience? What is your experience? Or is that both? It's around the very moment that I'm standing on Christ, my rock. Or do you know that I'm still, the storm is big. I'm still holding on to that piece of wood, but it seems like it's still carrying me. What is your experience? Number one or number two? Just tell me. For me, it is a rock, but there is has been a lot of floating as well. And he brought me back to the rock. So. So there are both. So sometimes we need to be honest that there are both ones. Well, the man who speaks here, he is Pope. His job is to believe. He is the number one person in the world, but he's a bishop of Rome, and he talks about I believe. But sometimes it looks like. And you think, well, is it holding up? Yes, I'm still holding on to it. But this gives us a common ground with all believers, all people. Because what is the next example is for the story of Martin Buber about the rabbi who argues with him over. He comes to argue about the scriptures and tries to prove that it's not true. And what does the rabbi do at the end? Okay. Let's look at how. I don't have the quote actually. He says that a man comes to argue with the rabbi. And one day when the rabbi is in his chamber, he's reading and he's thinking, and this man comes to argue with him, and he stopped, the rabbi stopped. Maybe this is true. Maybe this is true. And the man hears and that, my son, he says, the great teachers of Torah have wasted their words to argue with you. And you have gone away and laughed over them because they couldn't prove you God, neither God nor his kingdom. I cannot prove God and his kingdom to you. But think, my son, maybe that is still true. And that man, young man, goes away. Might be might be true. And that breaks his resistance. And that's the great common ground. When the Christians think, today it carries me. I know today it carries me. I believe it does. And the person thinks that maybe it is true. Maybe it is true. That's the common experience that creates. Then Yevgeny says that the ones who are on the front line and who are in the peace and find some common ground. Then I go to the person who is sad, that may the Lord, the joy of the Lord is your strength, but I'm not ready to listen to the concern, to the pain they are fearing. Then we are in great dissonance. But if we share the gospel with others, we have the gospel, we know, but we do not acknowledge that people have experienced something that has distorted their picture of God, that makes them doubt in all sorts of authority, not only in God. They think that there is nothing good in life anymore. And if they've experienced this kind of inner chaos because of sin, because of addictions, and we are the perfect ones, and we are the happy ones. And we are so far removed from them, and it doesn't create any common ground. So sometimes it's easy to think, where are we actually in our life? Do we have these moments of doubts? Do we still? And then we can identify, then we are ready to listen and seek together. Okay, when you eat something, it's good, but after a couple of hours, you feel again hungry. Maybe you last for a month without food, but definitely not a year. And we need to feed our faith. We have to take care of it. We have to tend to it. When we don't feed our faith, then this place is filled with substitutes. Finding faith and losing faith can happen overnight, but it is usually a long process. Their attention is turned away. But if an unbeliever is fed by the influence of the Word of God, by the influence of our shared life, that will bring them closer where they can get fed. Okay, Ratzinger also looks into the history and brings out the scholastic view that existence is truth. At this time of Descartes, Enlightenment, they say that truth is a human creation. And Marxism says that the truth is that will be created in the future. So what does Ratzinger say when he brings out the medieval view, or scholastic view, that existence is true, that Enlightenment say that material, Enlightenment said that truth is what we can see and touch, and what is created, what is a real, you know, everything that is, can be experienced and seen. And the third one was truth is the one that will come, that we create a future. So it's a Marxist view. That Marxist truth was expressed in communism. Ratzinger, of course, does not agree with it, but it describes different historical periods and how people understood truth. About communists was the question, how communists taught that we create our own truth, that we create a world, that we can change the world, we want to change the world the way we want to see it, and that's truth. That's the philosophical kind of idea behind it. Any other comments? So how I saw that when the medieval person or man seeks God, they have fully religious worldview, and that they identify them, well, sort of define themselves in the framework of God and religion. The Enlightenment person draw truth from things that they can know through their senses, through science, through reason. Any kind of other kind of truths are not considered at all. The mystical, the spiritual, supernatural is not true anymore. Truth is that you can measure, you can touch, or something that can be absolutely logically understood. And Marxism is saying that man is good and he can create a good world. We have to remove the obstacles of this. Today is a revolution and we are going to change the world, the perfect world, the way we want to see it. The truth is what we want to say it is, or we want to accomplish, but that doesn't, the means are not important. We can use violence, but the purpose is to create a perfect, create a world the way we want to see it, even when we have to shed blood and remove violently bloodshed and violence. Okay, that it's said that the truth can be controlled by people, and today as well. Today, truth is controlled. When Ratzinger writes his book, it is in 1960s. It is actually rather an old book. So 1969. Then he still argues with the modernist worldview. Today, arguments are related to postmodernism, but today the greatest obstacle is that we do not accept any authorities. An enlightenment that if you can prove something, somebody saw and I saw it the same, I measured, I weighed, I witnessed to this. It is true. It disproven. But today, it is very difficult. Okay, the police shoots a criminal. And there are two people who actually phoned recorded it on their phones, and for weeks there are the long that people actually are arguing whether what actually happened, when it was with other was actually filmed, that we can watch what was happening, and we still why who shot, whether they had a result of the positive threat, was a racist killing. Even when we see what is happening, we can't, it is hard to, from what we see and hear or think in social media might not actually be the truth, because motives and everything can be distorted, and the truth as a category by itself is even harder to find. Ulo says that something is like in Orwell's book, the Animal Farm. So what is truth? How we've seen it, and how, where we want to get to, and what are the rules. And the rules are changed constantly as it fits to the ones who set the rules. Sorry. Okay.
You are sharing something really long, then you need to speak to the microphone, otherwise Kaja can hear you, and then Terli can hear Kaja, and then she might be getting bored. Thank you. Because we have translation, we need to keep a little brief, because I got lost somewhere in your many, many thoughts. And I have a feeling that I'm...
ühesõnaga jah , et õpetaja sai ka , läks , okei , ta , see discussion goes in English at the moment . Okei . Äkki we may need a break right now. Okay, let's go and have a coffee. Okay, that was it. Her accent was, I hope, Paul, if you switch over to, they're speaking over that, you go back to their original sound, you know, when the discussion is in English. But how do you decide what is truth and how people around us decide what is true?